Lady's shoes at the store?
Nymphs, boots.
Mm-hmm. How often would you come to Malone?
Oh, sometimes every day. You know, you'd need things, and of course you, before we had a car, which in 1912, you came with a horse and buggy, or a horse and sleigh. But it was very few days that we didn't, we had one horse that was just kept for the Malone trip, you know, and that was it. But it might not have been every day, but it probably four or five times a week.
Who would go, a hired hand or?
No, a great many times Dad went. And then we were very, very proud when we were could come alone with a horse and go deal with Dad and Mother, or Dad, and my great many times himself.
Mm-hmm. Were your parents strict about cleanliness for the children?
About what?
Cleanliness, you know, taking baths regularly.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. How often did you have children have to take baths?
Oh, well, I would think that something happened to us almost every day. You know, you don't stay clean when you're a child. not like just the Saturday night.
Did the adults take baths often?
I don't think as often, maybe two or three times a week. But it would depend upon what you were doing. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, if you just got dirty, it was something that you just felt good taking. Mm-hmm. And you were rather proud, rather nice when you had a bathroom, don't you know? I can't remember just what time, but it must have been around maybe 1900 to 1905 or somewhere along there when they had bathrooms. And so you were awfully glad when you had one to use.
You had a tub in your house.
Did I have what?
A tub, a bathtub. You know.
It was
ground.
A tub. Oh, yes, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One you could sit down in?
Oh, yes, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Just like they are now with legs, you know,
right.
The older ones with legs. That's the kind they had there.
Uh-huh. You still had to heat the water, though, on the stove.
No, we had a boiler beside the stove and everything, so it was running water, you see, to upstairs to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's that hot water.
Did you have any heating equipment upstairs, like stoves upstairs?
No, because we had a furnace, as long
mm-hmm.
as I can remember.
Okay.
And I think registers went to each room.
Mm-hmm.
But,
did your parents believe in brushing their teeth and teaching children about
it? Uh-huh. Very, very. They were very, very strict about that because nobody wanted to have a toothache then, did they?
Did they have any remedies for a toothache?
Yes, I think so. I remember, it seems as if when I was a child, of putting something in a tooth so you could get to the dentist, because it always ached at night or something on Sunday.
Yeah.
And, you
inevitably.
Know,
inevitably.
Yeah. And I think there was some remedy that you'd put in until you could get it filled. I can't remember what it was, though. But we had little drugs part on the store, you know, like a little drugstore with those remedies at the store, too. So that a country store in those days had practically everything, you know, that anybody could need.
Right. Did your father have coonskin coats that he wore?
Yes. Oh, Dad and Mother both. I can't remember that we did, but they always wore coons and coat coming to Malone. And they had buffalo robes, you know, for the sleighs, and a foot warmer that you put in to keep your feet warm when you were going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, probably I've got one of those coonskin coats somewhere yet. You'll find out. Uh-huh.
Where would you go to the dentist?
Here in Malone. I can't remember who the first one that was. I should say his name. He lived on Park Street. And he had an office over Hyde's drugstore somewhere there. It's a familiar one, but the rest is began with S. And I think it seems to be the first doctor at him alone.
Did your father wear wool clothes mainly?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Our clothing in the wintertime was heavier than it is now. It wasn't so much fun to wear because you put on mackinaws and heavy wool mackinaws. And I know that we going to school had these wool I don't know what you call them, pants or something that you pulled up under your dresses if you were a girl, and the fellows wore things that, to keep over the shoes so that snow wouldn't go in your boots and things and keep you, because you'd get wet being outdoors and inside. And we, seems if it was quite an operation I remember especially when I had whooping cough, you liked to slide all the time. That was our main occupation for kids, was sliding downhill.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go outdoors in the cold, you get to coughing as soon as you have to go in, you'd choke to death. And then your mother would get your things all off, and then you'd want to go out again. But it was mainly scenes of sliding downhill that you can remember for fun.
Did you have toboggans and sleds?
Yes. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I'll have toboggans. Mm-hmm. Like they'd hold anywhere from 4 to 6, depending upon the size, you know. And the steer, we liked it when we didn't have too many steer lying down. You could always steer better. But we'd sit up and steer with our feet and hands, too.
Right. Did your mother wear what they call wrappers, or did she have wool dresses?
No, they wouldn't be wrappers, I think. Just, no. No, I think it'd be regular dresses, you know, with belts, more that kind. Well, some people, I think when they wore wrappers, they didn't get dressed when they first got up in the daytime. Well, we were all as a family that when the minute you were up, you were ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you go to the little congregational church across the way?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Every
Sunday?
Uh-huh. We had to, out of our allowance, we had to save so much to put in church and so much in Sunday school, I remember. And everybody went there, and then we also used the church for plays. During the winter time at school, and the people too, would spend quite a lot of time getting ready and putting on a play, you know, as a whole community, and then everybody went. They wouldn't even come from the Bangors and Malone and everything. They'd work hard on them, and there wasn't as much entertainment then as...
Yes,
no. So that you love to spend your time. I was always a little Negro girl. They covered me up as much as possible. Remember that?
Can you remember any of the names of those plays?
No, I can't. I think that most of them were something that, you know, they got, and were rather funny. It was more comedies rather than other things, nothing serious. And they sang, they would have maybe funny songs too, but the older people liked to sing together in choruses, you know, and I remember them singing a lot and practicing with the different voices, some of the tenors, and then some of them that didn't have such good voices, but insisted on singing in a way. And it was more of a comedy, too.
These would be people your father and mother's age who would be singing?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they would... They all entered into everything, you know, that was done. Just like your church socials, everybody went, or if you weren't working, you were going, you know. We made ice cream in the barn floor, I know, because we always had, we had an ice house with endless ice from the pond, and so everybody always come, brought all their freezers and made ice cream on the big barn floor there where the ice is convenient.
Hmm. How much allowance did you get? A week? Was it weekly allowance?
Oh, yes, I got 20 cents a week. That was up till high school, I remember I got 20 cents a week, and Pierre got 15 because he was 4 years younger and wasn't worth as much. we had to put in wood and things like that and take care of the hens and the calves and things. And then in the summertime when the mill was going a lot and we had extra time, we could pile wood for 2 cents a cord. In the fall, we picked up bushels of potatoes. We always had a 25-acre farm, too, for 2 cents a bushel. We really, we were careful about our records, too.
Did you get, after we went to high school, you got more?
I can't remember what I got then, because then I worked in the store in the summertime as long as Dad, so I probably got a little bit more. I wouldn't get as I don't think even in high school as much as $10 a week, maybe $5 a week then at that time.
What time were the services in this church?
The church morning? I think that they were usually about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, if I remember correctly then, because the minister was also a minister, we'll say, at North Bangor, West Bangor, and South Bangor. I mean, the minister went around. It seemed that ours was in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. But, how long would it last?
About an hour. Mm-hmm. That would be as long as they could keep us still. We had to go.
Was it Sunday school before or after?
The Sunday school was before we got there.
Huh? And
everybody stood outside and talked, you know, for an hour or so afterwards. And then
Who taught Sunday school? Can you remember?
No, I can't remember exactly. I think that some of the school teachers did, and some of the older people, they taught. And we went to church afterwards.
How did they teach Sunday school? Was it just talking to you, or did they have pamphlets to hand out?
They had little Bible lessons and so forth, and it was more Bible stories telling us, and maybe telling us some, and sometimes reading, but sort of translating the Bible in an interesting little parables and things like that, but I remember it.
Mm-hmm. When was the mill purchased? When did your father buy that?
Oh, well, I think that it seems as if it was around 1891. I think Dad was 17 years old when they went to Scary and started the mill. And probably they built it, you know, enlarged it as they went along, although I can't remember. My grandfather was, he knew everything about sawmills and so forth, so that it would, he'd know what he wanted.
So he had the sawmill before he built the one in Scary?
I think not. I don't think there was, I wouldn't be positive, but I didn't know that there was one there until they moved from Awara and started in Scary. I can't remember being told that there was one. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong, but I can't remember.
Did your father live at home until he was 17?
He was, I think that when, at the time he went there, he was going to school in Iowa with his brother. His brother, Charles Boyne, who later went to California from there, was living in Iowa. He was married, he was older. And I think that he was going to school in high school in Iowa at that time, and then he came back to help his father.
Mm-hmm. How many brothers and sisters were in your father's family?
Oh, that's some. My aunt Catherine Boyne could tell you, but I know that he had. My grandfather Boyne was married 3 times, and. He has one half-sister, the last wife, Grandma Boyne, the one I remember, and he had three sisters and a brother that were his own, to a sister, and then 2 brothers that were with Grandpa Boyne's first wife, so that he must have had 6 altogether. Mm-hmm. Told me, but I forget.
Was working for his father his first job?
Yes, I think so. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's ever worked anywhere else.
Were his employees at the Bowen Mill, were they mainly Protestant or Catholic?
Were they what?
Were they mainly Protestant or Catholic, the employees?
I can't remember them being very many Catholics up there at that time. It just seemed, although they may have been, but it seems if nearly everybody went to the Protestant church that was around there.
Your employees?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It just seemed as if sometimes in a smaller town, the type of religion doesn't make as much difference. I mean, if there's a church, you go to church, you know. But I do think that maybe Catholics would be more strict than Protestants, wouldn't they? Because their religion varies a little bit more. But I can't remember thinking of anybody being a Catholic rather than a Presbyterian or a Methodist or something like that up in Scary till he got to Malone.
Who were his first employees, the men who first worked for him? Can you remember their names?
Who was the first one?
First employees.
Oh, no, I can't remember. I know that that Clarence Smith and quite a few of the Wileys, some of the Wileys are still alive, Guy and two or three of those are there, and Wes Smith, and and I think some of the Davenports. Guy, Carl Gear, he worked there for years, as long as I can remember, till he died.
Gear?
A big Gear, Carl Gear. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. He owned a house just west of Scary a little bit. After you crossed the bridge, there was one, it was the second house on the right.
Mm-hmm. How many men?
Guy McNasser, it was one of them.
About how many men altogether were working for your father at one time?
Well, of course, he hired the logs drawn in, a man and a team was given so much for so many feet of logs that they drew in, so I guess they would really be working for themselves. John Saras ran our team, I forgot him, drove our team. And so that they're usually in the mill. I would say there would be about 10. I remember back when Russ Buckling was there, and he lived there for years, and he ran the boiler. We ran by steam, ran the mill by steam then. And so I would say probably in the mill, 10 or 12 that was there.
And how many in the store?
Usually just one. Dad would take his place there when they went. Of course, they were open nights and everything, but then people worked longer hours. In the mill, we went from 7 in the morning till 6 at night.
Who worked in the mill office, keeping the books?
Dad.
Did he have any helpers?
I think that Eleanor King, at one time, she is Florence Livermore's mother here in Malone, helped him in the office too there. If I remember correctly, but I wouldn't be positive about that. He did most of his book work himself.
Mm-hmm. Did the mill have its own telephone?
No, no telephone in the mill, no.
Any telegraph?
No.
Facilities?
Not the mill, no. It wasn't too far away. It wasn't as far as from here up to the corner. It wasn't that any farther than that from the house or the office.
So you used the house phone for business?
Yeah.
Did the mill at first run by water? Was it powered by water at first or always by steam?
I think it was just water power at first. We had a water wheel and all, you know.
Mm-hmm. Were the early employees ever paid in script money?
No, not that I know of. I think they always had cash.
How many employees were there at the very height of the mill when it was doing its best?
Well, if you would count the ones that were drawing logs and also drawing lumber, we sent the lumber to the cars in North Bangor. I would say that maybe 24 or 25 would be probably the most at that time, drawing in logs and taking lumber and so forth.
Were the men paid by the day?
At the end of the week.
Mm-hmm. Was their salary for the week set, or was it
yes,
by number?
I remember at one time, I can't remember what date it was, but that our sire in the mill, all of these millmen had to know their trades, like, because we sawed and then we kill dried the lumber, and then we planed and matched it for flooring and things like that, so that it was all, the whole operation, it was ready to use, see, being kill dried. And they had to know what they were doing. It, you had extra help that were drawing out wood and doing things that weren't skilled, but really they were. And if I remember correctly, and I can't remember the year, the sire received $1.25 a day because he was really good, and the others $1. Mm-hmm. That seemed funny.
Was there any competition between your mill and the Reynolds's?
No, as I remember it, they were very, very friendly and everything, and there was plenty of places to sell. They wanted the lumber so much that we were both very, I mean, we used to go back and forth and know them, you know, and the things, and I think they really worked together rather than competing, you know.
How much land did your father own?
Well, at that, I was trying to think. He owned quite a lot of wild land up around Cherry Hill, between Brandon and up at the Lake Titus Road. Well, you know where Almanzo Hutchins owned, and that, up there toward Walker's Mill, and a lot of land between there and the Lake Titus Road. And he sold, it wasn't too long, well, maybe, in 1930 or 35, that he sold that of the land that had been lumbered to the state. So that I don't know whether it would be like 1,000 acres or more, you know, something like that. It was quite a lot of land. And then he also bought, like, we'll say Will Clark owned Twin Ponds. And he had land that he wanted the lumber, timber cut. And then he would buy the timber from the people who owned the land besides.
Mm-hmm. Did he own anywhere near as much as the Reynolds's, as far as land?
I don't think so. I think they would own a great deal more land than Dad would have. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Were the men required to cut down a certain number of trees per day or bring in a certain number of logs? In order to get that
yeah, paid. Yeah, because we checked all the time what they were doing, the ones that were cut and the loading. And in those days, I think that there was more pride in it. The lumberjacks and so forth, the ones I know, we never had to urge them to work harder. They were going to be better than the fellow that was working near them or with them, you know. There was a great deal of that sort of pride. They were competing. We didn't have other games, but I think their work, they competed in that way more, because I can't remember in the mill or other things of, now you'll say, well, this person is very inefficient. I'm always having to try to urge him on. Well, then it just seemed as if the men were trying to do their best work. Yeah, there was. I can't remember having to, you know, my Ken sense.
Mm-hmm. Were there logging camps in back
yes.
in the woods for your father's
uh-huh.
men?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They went in and stayed, mm-hmm. and then that was the only trouble. When they came out, they got dead drunk. You had to get them, be sure they went back in to work, you know. Mm-hmm. They would spend a great deal of their money. That was the they had to celebrate once in a while after being in there.
Did your father stay in the camps very much? Or?
No, never.
He had a supervisor.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Who
go
was?
Back in and then come out at dark at night. And he scaled logs a great deal there when he was buying them. He would scale them for the owner that he bought them from, and then he would scale them for himself when they were brought in. At one time, when the roads... you know, sometimes in the spring it'll thaw. Early in the spring we had to get all of these logs that were cut out, and they all came in by teams at that time, that we would have to bring them in at night. They would wait until dark, and we had a great big water wagon, and they would ice the roads And I think of Tarble Hill worse because we worried so terribly then. Because they would start, they would ice those and then bring them in with the teams, and they'd have to go down that hill. And they'd have to go down fast, and yet if a horse would slip or something, of course their shoes were very, very sharp. The cocks are very sharp. The logs would just go right over and kill them. But I can't remember them actually, a bad accident happening to a team, but we worried we would ice them, and then in the daytime it would thaw off and we'd have to do it the next night. So the work was done at night because the logs would rot if they were left there during the next summer.
Mm-hmm. How many logging camps did you have?
Well, I think that as a main thing, if I remember, there wouldn't be any more than one or two usually each winter. Then they didn't reforest, they didn't know so much about it, and so they would cut off in a certain section and then just move to another section either that winter or later, you know, so that they weren't. They were usually in each camp, they'd be the cook camp and the bunks and so forth separately, and sometimes it'd be two or three depending upon the men working there. But the cook camp was always separate.
How many men would be in each camp?
No, I would say that with everything, that I would say maybe 20 that would be in about one place. That would have so many teamsters and, you know, so many cutting, and what if they'd had chainsaws then?
Did they have horse barns at the camps to keep the horses in?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, they all had the horse barns for them. Not very many windows in them, only, but, you know, they'd build them as cheaply as they could. Of course, the horses were out nearly all day. I guess they wouldn't need them, would they?
Were there windows in the bunkhouse?
Not too many, maybe one or two little windows, you know. And again, they were out all day, too. It was always dark from Campsy to Campsy in the wintertime.
So how long would these camps last, each one? Were they there for while you were growing up? Or?
Well, really, they would just go to rack and ruin as soon as they left them. I mean, somebody might use them for hunting or something, you know. But it wouldn't take very long because the doors would swing open and animals would get in, so they wouldn't last very long.
Well, how long would the men be logging that same area,
say? Oh, usually they would get it in one winter, a certain area, so that they'd have to
move on.
So they were in different camps every year?
Yes, nearly always. Sometimes a camp would be kept for some purpose, but they didn't try too much, as I remember.
They must have been rather rough and quickly put up.
Oh, yes. An awful lot of times out of logs, you know, and things, most of the time, just because they were, and just clink them in with plaster and things to keep them warm. And, of course, when there's a lot of people and there's a stove, one of those box stoves, it stayed warm until the fire went out. It was warm.
Did you ever eat up at one of the camps?
Did I ever eat there?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I went with Dad on Saturdays and everything a lot when I was a little girl and ate, and the food was always good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was nice and clean, but it wasn't. Seemed good to them. I think they did fairly well with the things because they had cooks. Well, I can remember one time up near Saranac Lake when my one of my uncles was building a road up there, you know, that they had. And of course, in the woods, they always had plenty of bins. And, I mean, it was very, very good. And the food was excellent. I mean, it wouldn't be so fancy, but I mean, like either venison roasts or stews or things like that. And very hearty, of course. But they always had pies and cakes, the men. They tried to keep them happy. And in those days, those pies and cakes meant a lot to them, you know.
Yeah.
It would. You need something sweet. And, of course, there was a great deal of things with maple sugar, like breakfast. They'd always have griddle cake, pancakes and things, you know, that would... Because maple sugar was a standby. It was much cheaper than white sugar at that time.
Mm-hmm. Much salt pork served in the camps?
Yes, and that they'd have a lot. Mm-hmm.
you remember any of the cook's names?
No. No, I can't say. No, I can't remember one of them.
Were they men?
Maybe I should get. Maybe I could get some help from with that and remember, but I can't. Let's see.
Were they men? Some or women?
Of usually were men. It would just depend. Once in a while, there'd be someone who was married, and the man and his wife would both work as cooks. You know, but usually, I remember back at that time, they're mostly men.
Did they have tin dishes?
Oh yes. Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Always, because other things would break. No paper plates.
How many Teamsters would there be at one camp?
Well, I would think 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. They had to skid the logs with a single horse, and then they had to draw them to a skidway from the skidways. It was doubled with a team, they always do. So I would think maybe about 5, and it would be Teamsters, and the rest would be cutting.
And you might have 2 or 3 camps running at one time?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So you'd have 15, 20 Teamsters altogether, and the rest would be cutters?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Did you have company houses owned by your father and rented to the men and their families?
I can't remember. No, sir. I don't know. I would think that, that they might, but I can't remember that exactly.
The teams were mainly owned by the men who ran them.
Yes, most of them were owned. I think that the teams, that we just had one team of our own, and I don't know that we used that. And hi. I'm not that.
Do you know
me? How are relations between your father and his men? Were they fine?
Easy.